Good morning. Morning, everyone. Thank you for being here. Today is June 9th. It is 9 a.m. You're at the Board of Supervisors meeting. If everybody could please stand for the pledge and then remain standing. After the pledge, we will have the invocation by Pastor Jeff Norman from Modesto Covenant Church.
Good morning, and I count it a privilege to be able to come and pray today. Lord God, your word gives us this instruction. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior. So today, Lord, thank you for this chance to put this instruction into action. And to give thanks for and to pray for this group of people who serve our county. Lord, as I have looked over the agenda, I see a great vision for our county, striving to be the best county in America. I'm grateful for this vision and that among the board's priorities are a safe community, a healthy community, a strong local economy. So, Lord, today as this board considers a budget for the year ahead, a spending plan that we pray will move us closer to achieving this vision. Thank you for all who've worked hard to produce this document, all the effort that has gone into it. Thanks for the consideration of the board and for the input from our community. Lord, I pray that as this budget is refined and implemented, it will move us forward in making this vision and these priorities a reality for all the residents of our community. I thank you for these board members, for the time and energy they give serving us in this community, in this county. So today, Lord, may your wisdom be available to them. And I pray that you would bless our county through them and their work. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Norman. That was great. Okay. So we are going to start today with public comment. And I have one card for public comment, and it is Hebe Garcia Bolio. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm grateful for your time. I would like to follow up with my application for changed assessment. In it, I filled out on the issue, space for issue, there is a fraudulent conveyance of title. And I really don't want any money. I just want penalties to be charged to Hibernian LLC properties because I was there to stop a foreclosure and they still bought the house. There is a lawsuit pending and by June 26th, the judge in turn, if I don't give a bail of $15,000, he will release the lease pendants from that lawsuit that is going on. The attorney mentioned to me he will appeal, but I will lose my house. I don't want any money. I just want my house back. I have a declaration to make. I am Garcia Bolio. I'm the aggrieved party in this appeal. The unlawful detainer is a retaliatory action by purported trustee related to notice of trustee sale that took place September 18, 2013. The beneficiary falls under the color of law. The unlawful detainer is unconscionable. CRPC 4200A, B, and B3 of unfounded claims. I am the legitimate owner of personal residence. And it was in my appeal, record of appeal. This record of appeal is incomplete. Proof is by example the attached documentation. I do not have the means to make copies to include what's missing in the record. The court has denied me the right of equal protection of the law. The judicial system has forced me to become homeless. Despite the fact, the filing of my ex parte requesting an order of stay to stay, not to suffer an eviction during the appeal process, which began December 10, 2013. The purpose of an ex parte is to balance the right to notice against the right to the legal system to avert imminent and irreparable harm, and far from violating the Constitution, federal and state. Since my eviction in Stanislaus County, I have lived the worst stage of my life, with daily apprehension on keeping me safe or where to sleep in my car in Modesto. Homelessness is likely to produce great bodily harm or even death. And by both violations of rights and privileges risen by the enforcement of exemptions on judgments of real property that came from Sonoma County Superior Court. I also have a declaration of homestead. With this appeal, I seek protection from the errors of law, coercion, prejudicial abuse of discretion, miscarriage of justice, emotional distress and daily apprehension, and financial burden. Judge Roger Buchesne, room 24 of this Stanislaus Court, and Judge Timothy W. Salter aim to impose on me points and cases an example of all of the above. There was no due process. I'm entitled to counsel, and I did not have legal representation improper. I demanded a jury trial. I had no equal protection of the law. The complaint for the unlawful detainer is filed as follows: Hibernian LLC versus Dennis William Ron Kelly, my former spouse. My request for mandatory judicial attention were denied. Judge Roger Buchesne was an amplifier echo of all petitions of hearsay, overruled, irrelevant, voiced by Hibernian LLC's counsel. When the unlawful detainer bench trial was heard December 10, 2014, the case was transferred from courtroom to room 24 to courtroom 24. The taking of my life, freedom, and real property, breach of peace, was decided in less than 30 minutes. Judge Roger Buchesne's words still represent the assault and threat with no grounds of legal reasoning, because when I asked for the statement of his decision, his was, they bought the house. They have the right to possession. I'm ordering the eviction in 24 hours. Well, this judge omitted in the record of appeal the evidence, my grand deed, and he refused to sign the order where I asked, sign, you're being prejudiced. I have gone by the rule. I have a document here that I'm attaching to my appeal of ownership. This is a certified copy, but I'll get the original from my attorney later. It says, this unlawful detainer, my settlement is exempt from an unlawful detainer. Thanks for the time.
Thank you, Hubie, and I know you're working with our staff, and we'll continue to work with you on this. Thank you. Okay, that was the only card that we had. Is there any other public comment? If not, okay, we will move on to consent calendar. Is there anything on consent calendar that anyone would like to pull? Okay, seeing none, do we have a motion for consent?
So moved.
No motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Passes 5-0. Okay. We will now move on to our 905 public hearing to consider the adoption of the recommended proposed budget for budget year 2015-16. And Stan is going to start us off.
Yes. Well, good morning, Chairman Withrow and board members. Stan Risen, your Chief Executive Officer, and I'm pleased to present to you this morning our recommended proposed budget for 2015-2016. I'd like to begin by personally acknowledging and thanking you for your leadership, your compassion for the community we serve, and the opportunity to serve in such a great organization. Each of you demonstrates a commitment to excellence in public service that is remarkable. And I thank you for that service. You will see in today's presentation that our forecasts for discretionary revenues are just now nearing the levels they were almost a decade ago in 2007. I heard recently that there have been 11 recessions since World War II, and that the average economic recovery between those recessions was 5 years. We are in the sixth year of our economic recovery. And so with that in mind, the recommended budget before you reflects an optimistic but very cautious and fiscally prudent approach knowing that our next recession could be just around the corner. This budget focuses on your stated priorities, long-term financial planning, rebuilding in a sustainable manner, and continuing on our ongoing drive to improve service delivery in our community. I hope you will agree that the budget we are recommending before you today reflects the vision you have provided for this community going forward. Before I move off the slide that's in front of you, I have to remark on the beautiful budget cover that was depicted here. This is a picture taken by our park staff back in March and highlights one of our wonderful community resources, Modesto Reservoir. The best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. The second best time is today. I included this quote in my budget message because in so many ways, I believe it captures the dedication, leadership, and focus your board has assumed in tackling a number of significant challenges facing our region. We're dealing with a number of issues, be it some of our social ills, quality of life issues, or water challenges, where ideally preventive approaches and collaborative solutions should have been developed years ago. Nonetheless, they are here and they are real. And I'm grateful that you as a board recognize these challenges and have shown the leadership to take them head on and begin laying the seeds of responsible change. As I alluded to earlier, today's budget presentation will include some good news related to our immediate financial condition and the opportunities the budget provides us to improve the services and the quality of life we all enjoy in our community. Our recommended proposed budget also includes many strategies that will support the decisions of this board and future boards many years from now. This is the tradition upon which we manage our resources and maintain our core financial mission to be good stewards of public funds. This includes the potential use of any one-time fund balance that may accrue as discussed in the agenda item. Should this fund balance materialize, it will provide us an opportunity to use one-time dollars to strategically position us to address future challenges. Before you this morning is 605 pages of budget detail, bits and pieces of fiscal integrity of an organization with a $1.1 billion budget, serving a community with real needs, with hundreds of different programs and thousands of dedicated employees. Before I conclude my remarks, I would like to thank each and every member of the Chief Executive Office budget team for their hard work and diligence. They have worked late nights and weekends to prepare the budget that is before you today. So thank you. I'd also like to thank the county's fine department heads and their leadership teams for their commitment to fiscal accountability and public service, and for the cooperation with the budget team as we work through this difficult and significant task. And I can't go without expressing my appreciation to each and every one of our full and part-time employees for the jobs they do day in and day out, caring for the community we all serve. As county staff, our job is to present to you a recommended spending plan for 15-16, to answer your questions, to be transparent, informative, and accountable, to recommend a balanced and sustainable spending plan. And your job before you is to consider these recommendations and the requests from county department heads, to receive public input, and then make any changes to the recommended spending plan that you desire. And then by a 4/5 vote to adopt a recommended spending plan for 15-16. Under your leadership, our community is moving forward in a positive direction, and I'm honored to serve as your CEO and to present the recommendations to you that I hope will support this direction this coming year. I would now like to introduce our team that will present the rest of the presentation on the budget to you this morning. At the staff table is Chief Operations Officer Patricia Hill-Thomas. Next to her is Assistant Executive Officer Keith Boggs and Assistant Executive Officer Jody Hayes. They're supported by the entire budget team and by our county department heads, budget managers, and senior leaders that are available to answer any specific questions you may have. So at this point, I'll turn the presentation over to Mr. Hayes.
Thank you, Stan, and good morning, Chairman Withrow, members of the board, Council Doreen. My name is Jody Hayes from the Chief Executive Office. It is my pleasure to present the 2015-2016 proposed budget with my colleagues from the Chief Executive Office, Patricia Hill Thomas and Keith Boggs. We have much to share in the budget this year, but we will do our best to be brief and allow plenty of opportunity to address any questions that you may have as well. I would be remiss if I didn't just stop for a moment and take a second to also echo Stan's comments to thank all of the staff from the Chief Executive Office that are right here behind us here, as well as all of our county department heads and their many budget staff that are here today. We're very privileged in this organization to have a lot of smart people that know how to balance these numbers for us and to deliver a budget that meets the expectations and the vision of the organization. And we're very pleased to see them all here with us today. I know it's just the three of us presenting this budget, but it's important to recognize that this document, all 605 pages of it, is really a culmination of all the efforts for many of these people who are here today or otherwise couldn't be with us. As you've already heard from CEO Risen, the county budget process always starts and finishes with a focus on the future. Many of the balancing strategies utilized in this proposed budget were recommended in prior budget cycles and previously endorsed by your board. There are many notable strategies this board has implemented which are instrumental in shaping our budget for the 2015-16 year. The county has implemented long-term labor agreements over this last fiscal year with the majority of county bargain units. These agreements included phased elimination of the prior employee furlough program, which has been in place for some employees since 2009. We are pleased to report this program has come to a close in the new fiscal year with the complete restoration of employee service hours to the public. The county also continues to identify one-time funding sources to reduce debt and address our unfunded liabilities. These efforts support the financial health of our organization and align our projected needs in the future with sustainable funding sources. Much of the growth you have seen in the current year budget and going forward is supported through new programs operated at the local level and funded through state and federal resources. Our county departments have done a wonderful job in leveraging these growth opportunities at the local level with the support of additional funding. The proposed budget also continues support of key programs and services included in your budget priorities for 2014-15. These include the ongoing restoration of critical public safety services, and your support for community-wide collaboration on a new focus on prevention program. Both of these programs are highlighted in our budget documents and remain supported in our long-range financial planning going forward. 2015-16 brings with it some good news for our community and our efforts to enhance services. In today's presentation, you will hear about strategic investments in our park system, efforts to initiate improvements in services and technology, and a continuation of our prior strategies to leverage state and federal dollars whenever possible. To echo the comments of CEO Risen, we are very pleased to be able to report another year of growth in discretionary resources. However, we are mindful of the realities that each economic cycle will eventually change and must be planned for well in advance. Consistent with past practice, the 2015-16 recommended proposed budget as presented to you today is organized within the seven Board of Supervisors priorities displayed on the screen. And I might add, happily included in our invocation this morning as well. That was nice. The 2015-16 recommended proposed budget contains detailed financial schedules, analysis of county programs and funded service levels, as well as policy information for the Board of Supervisors' consideration. It is a balanced spending plan for the upcoming year, and upon approval by the Board, will provide the interim spending authority until the final budget is approved by the Board of Supervisors this coming September. The Chief Executive Office has continued zero-based budgeting efforts initiated in fiscal year 14-15. This process has been very beneficial to our efforts to identify the specific level of funding necessary to support general fund departments while also maintaining incentives for departments to pursue their own individual strategies for improved efficiencies. The 2015-16 recommended proposed budget is the culmination of months of planning and represents a multi-year fiscal and program planning effort for Stanislaus County government. The budget was created with attention to the long-range model, which provides guidance for financial decisions. The model is a planning tool that allows for informed resource planning with a 3 to 5 year budget outlook, thus providing greater clarity and context for our decision making. We will update our financial model after the books are closed on the 14-15 fiscal year and report out more of this detail to the board during the final budget process. Including the results of year-end savings for departments still participating in our Net County Cost Savings Program. For now, the proposed budget was developed to maintain the support for the programs and services already approved by the board, while also identifying some additional unmet needs to be considered for approval going forward. So here we have our overall budget numbers. Overall, the recommended proposed budget totals $1.081 billion, a decrease of just under 1% or $10.8 million from the 14-15 adopted final budget level, while total estimated revenues are projected at $1.051 billion, which is $11.8 million or 1.1% above the 14-15 adopted final budget. The budget is balanced using $30.6 million of fund balance and retained earnings. The changes in the total budget and reduced use of fund balance are attributable to several factors. The 14-15 adopted final budget included $12.3 million of net county cost carryover savings and a one-time allocation of $15 million for an accelerated paydown of the Health Services Agency long-term deficit, along with other funding and operational changes in department programs that will be highlighted throughout our report today. The recommended 15-16 proposed budget totals to approximately $1.1 billion, as you saw on the prior slide. Just under half, or 49.5% of the total budget, is dedicated to the priority of a healthy community, departments and services that are for the most part mandated by federal and state regulation and predominantly funded with those special dedicated revenues. This chart provides a historical view of the overall budgeted appropriations for the past 7 years since fiscal year 2008-2009, along with the projection for 15-16. As you can see, the recommended appropriations have gradually increased from a low of 11-12, primarily as a result of growth in health and human service programs and services. Public safety realignment and the debt acceleration strategy also peaked in 2014-15. The recommended 15-16 budget for the general fund totals to approximately $264.7 million. We will focus on the general fund in many of our slides this morning, as this is the budget unit which supports essential government functions and provides match to internal services and special revenue departments as directed by the board or mandated by federal and state regulations. More than half, or 60.1% of the general fund budget, is dedicated to the priority of a safe community at $159.2 million. The next largest portion of the general fund budget is dedicated to efficient delivery of public services at $92.9 million, or 35.1% of the general fund. This chart reflects a historical view of the budget appropriations in the general fund over the past 7 years, along with the projection for 2015-16. To highlight the recommended changes in the general fund in budget year 15-16, we have a series of slides to show the building blocks from the prior year and how we got to where we're at today. I know this is a lot of detail, but just stick with us because it helps inform you as to how we actually go about building this general fund budget and the work of all these folks behind us here today. Step one of the budget is, in order to build this proposed budget, we begin with the adopted final budget for the general fund, and we adjust for any prior year net county cost carry forward savings, and we remove department revenue for a subtotal of $186.1 million. We then work with departments to understand their funding needs to achieve Board of Supervisors approved service levels. Step two, adjustments were made to department budgets to ensure funding for their Board of Supervisor approved service levels, including approved salary and benefits per negotiated labor agreements, spend down of prior year net county cost savings, cost of doing business increases, and any contractual obligations. So you can see in the detail there that there are a number of adjustments by priority area. There's a $13.7 million increase in our safe communities that also includes the public safety restoration program, $18,000 for healthy communities, $17,000 for a strong agricultural economy and heritage, $26,000 for well-planned infrastructure, and $400,000 for the efficient delivery of public services. Further base budget adjustments were factored to offset these increases, including a $5.2 million reduction in appropriations contingent for appropriations for contingencies, primarily related to the change in accounting for public safety restoration, as well as to reflect the breakout of the focus on prevention program into a separate budget unit. We've also included a reduction of $1.8 million in mandated match as a result of increased social services realignment funding to reverse the shift of discretionary revenue in past years to mandated programs. And then the final reduction of $15 million to reflect the one-time payment made in 14-15 for the accelerated paydown of the Health Services Agency deficit. That would be the single biggest difference that you'll notice between last year's budget at final and this year's recommended budget. Step three of the building blocks in the general fund budget is to factor recommended adjustments per department request. So these are the department requests that we'll be recommending before you today. They total $5.6 million, and that also includes our public safety restoration program, which has been moved over into departmental budgets. $3.8 million of that is in the safe community, as I mentioned, with public safety restoration. $21,176 for a healthy community, $15,500 for a strong agricultural heritage, $770,000 for well-planned infrastructure, and $1.025 million in the efficient delivery of public services. Each of those we'll be talking about during our presentation. And then our final step in the process, it would be to include any net county cost savings, which we'll actually look at during the upcoming final budget, as well as to factor in departmental revenue increases that we're experiencing. In this year, departmental revenue is at $80.8 million, which brings us to a total of $264.7 million. That's how the budget's built. I know that's a lot of detail, but we thought it was important to at least walk you through that for a moment so you could understand budget process. The general fund is balanced by department revenue, as we just mentioned, discretionary revenue, and the use of fund balance. General fund balancing for the prior two fiscal years, 13-14 and 14-15, are displayed on this chart for comparison purposes, and a copy of this chart is included in your agenda item. I know it's a little hard to read on the screen there. The third column shows the recommended 15-16 proposed budget before you this morning, which includes $264.7 million in appropriations, a decline of $6.4 million from the 14-15 adopted final budget, the result of that building block adjustment that we just went through on the other slides. The general fund is supported with the $80.8 million in departmental revenue. These department revenues reflect an increase of $8.2 million, primarily due to increases in state realignment pass-through funding for social services programs accounted for within general fund match vehicle license fees that actually pass through the general fund. That's where you're seeing the increase in departmental revenue. Net county cost is forecast at $183.9 million and is offset by $178.8 million in forecasted discretionary revenues. As previously mentioned, the 15-16 recommended proposed budget does not include our net county cost savings, which would be added at final budget, and fund balance of $5.1 million completes the sources of funding necessary to fully balance our budget this year, and it's very consistent with prior budget balancing strategies. This chart displays actual general fund discretionary revenue over the past 10 years through fiscal year 13-14, with the forecast for 14-15 and projected discretionary revenue recommended for proposed budget 15-16. Discretionary revenue is the revenue over which your board has the discretion to use as you determine. It is not tied directly to a specific program or department. The majority of discretionary revenue in the recommended proposed budget supports funding for public safety and criminal justice services for the Sheriff's Department, probation, district attorney, and public defender, as well as government-related services such as the Chief Executive Office, Assessor, and Clerk Recorder. Health and Human Services departments use discretionary revenue as matching funds to support maintenance of effort requirements for federal and state-supported programs. The trend in the past 5 years reflects as moderate growth since discretionary revenue hit the lowest level in fiscal year 2009-2010. For a fair comparison, it should be noted that the year-end actual for 12-13 included a one-time revenue for a total amount of $11.9 million, and adjusted for this one-time revenue, 12-13 revenue was actually $153.8. We have a little line on the slide there that shows that. Discretionary revenue is forecast at $178.8 million in the proposed budget for 15-16. This is an increase of $9.8 million, or 5.8% above the 14-15 adopted final budget. Our current year receipts are estimated to exceed the amount projected in the adopted final budget of $169 million, as shown on the slide before you with the, there's a little bit of shading there at the top of the 14-15 bar, representing the maximum range that is currently projected for year end. So we wanted to at least show you what we think it could end the year at its maximum there. This additional revenue is the result of increases in property tax and property tax in lieu of vehicle license fee revenue, along with receipt of one-time correction to sales tax revenue for 11 prior quarters and modest increases in sales-related tax revenue. We are pleased to recognize the second year of solid growth in property taxes after 5 years of declining, representing a cumulative drop of 24% in the assessed roll from 2007-08 through 2012-13. Continued stable recovery in the housing market is anticipated for budget year 15-16, and property tax is forecast to grow 4.5% from the current year. The annual assessment roll valuation will be announced in late June 2015, and the final budget will provide another opportunity to adjust property tax and related revenues if needed to be in line with the actual growth in the assessed roll valuation. Finally, is it important to note that while the budget projection represents that sixth straight year of overall growth in discretionary revenues, the county's discretionary revenue still remains below its peak in 2007-2008, and you can actually see over that period of time that we're just now reaching those levels that we were at approximately 9 years ago. We'd now like to go through some of our department slides and talk to you about the recommendations specific to each individual department. We're going to start with a safe community. Departments within the safe community are focused on public safety and related support systems. They total approximately $196.8 million in appropriations. The Sheriff's Department is the largest department in our safe community budgets, forecast at $98.5 million, or 50% of this priority area. Departments in this priority area are funded with $72 million in estimated department revenue, $3.7 million in the use of department fund balance and retained earnings, and a $121 million contribution from the general fund. 61% of the safe community priority is funded by these local discretionary funds. At the beginning of each priority area, we'll provide you just some of the service highlights that you can expect in this upcoming fiscal year related to the budget and what the public may expect in community services. So starting with the safe community, the day reporting center located adjacent to the Sheriff's Department will be completed this budget year, with the probation department commencing programs at this facility to enhance services to the adult offender population. This new day reporting center will play a significant role in the ongoing transformation of our local public safety services going forward. County staff will also conclude the design phase and break ground on the SB 1022 facility for reentry and enhanced alternatives to custody center, what we call the REACT Center. This project will ultimately allow the Sheriff's Department to consolidate most custodial functions onto one campus and provide functional programming and other critical support to department operations. The District Attorney will continue to expand the use of electronic data to reduce reliance on paper filings and increase efficiencies with their public safety partners. And work will be completed on a new facility and relocation for the Sheriff's Corner facility to County Center 3, located on Oakdale Road in Modesto. And finally, public safety restoration will continue to enhance customer service and increase safety in the community as the positions authorized by the board this past March come on board. A detailed update on the implementation of this program is provided in your agenda report as well. Specific to the Sheriff's Department, department staff will work to fill all of their prior vacancies, as well as the 16 new deputy sheriff positions added to the department as part of the public safety restoration program. New staff will support redeployment of the sheriff's team investigating narcotics and gangs, or what the sheriff refers to as the Sting Team, reflect increased numbers of deputies on the street, and full use of the reactivated post-regular basic course at the Ray Simon Regional Criminal Justice Training Center, supported by local training for interns as well, as the department tries to grow some of our own local applicants to benefit safe delivery and fill some of our deputy sheriff positions. As part of the fiscal year 14-15 mid-year financial report, the Board of Supervisors approved public safety restoration to fund critical public safety services in four departments: the District Attorney, Public Defender, Probation, and Sheriff. The Board had approved public safety funding in phase one of up to $2 million in the current fiscal year and $4 million in budget year 15-16 to support 39 full-time positions. As of May 21st, 2015, seven of these positions have been filled, and those departments are all actively seeking filling the remaining positions. Potential funding of up to $6 million in budget year 16-17 and $8 million in budget year 17-18 will be considered through future board action, with a goal of funding up to 74 full-time positions by budget year 17-18. Details on the public safety restoration operations will be included with each of our quarterly update budget reports to the board, and a table showing the current status is included on page 18 of your agenda report. Although the board has authorized up to $2 million to fund public safety restoration activities in the current fiscal year, we are projecting substantial savings to occur by year end due to the timing of filling authorized positions this late in the fiscal year. In recognition of this savings, your agenda report includes recommendations to authorize spending of up to $559,500 for the sheriff, $71,310 for the district attorney to fund equipment and training costs related to the implementation of the public safety restoration program, which were not included in the original recommendations approved by the board in March. With your approval of these recommendations, we will anticipate year-end savings in the public safety restoration to be approximately $1 million. For the Chief Executive Office, Office of Emergency Services Fire Warden, in June 10 of 2014, staff report to the board dissolving the Modesto Regional Fire Authority and restoring the Fire Warden's office, the fire marshal position was left unfunded and the clerical position was to be reviewed in phase two of our analysis of that transition. Since then, the fire marshal position has been temporarily filled with a retired fire marshal through a personal services contract and the clerk position filled with extra help. After extensive evaluation and reorganization of responsibilities, it has been determined that these positions are critical to the success of the Fire Prevention Bureau and the implementation of the one-stop shop concept and best permit practices. It is recommended to add one new administrative clerk three position and to restore the fire marshal three manager three fire marshal position. These positions will be funded by departmental revenue. For the Sheriff's Department, has included a number of unmet needs requests to support the service improvements recommended in the proposed budget. In addition to the base budget adjustments provided through zero-based budgeting process, the department is recommended to receive an additional $2.9 million in funding, of which $2.4 million is related to already approved public safety restoration. During this budget year, the Sheriff's Department will return deputies to regional task force such as the Stanislaus County Auto Theft Task Force and reinstitute the Sheriff's Sting Team, as previously mentioned. Additional deputies will be assigned as detectives to support general crimes investigations. The proposed budget includes recommendations to increase net county cost for one-time purchases as follows. The in-time scheduling software to provide the sheriff with an automated solution for managing complex deputy schedules varying across functional areas is funded at $90,198. New vehicles to support two shifts of the Sting Team are estimated at $258,000, and one truck and trailer is estimated at $74,000 for use by the Sheriff's Mounted Unit in transporting horses to field operations and will reduce our need for deputies to use their own personal vehicles for these purposes. The department has also reactivated the Sheriff's Deputies Training Academy in budget year 15-16, as we had mentioned, and included funding for a grant to help defray the cost of the Academy Instruction Certification course in the amount of $122,000, which assists us in our budget balancing. Just to mention, the district attorney, probation, and public defender are all working towards implementation of their public safety restoration strategies and have no additional requests that are identified at this time in the proposed budget. The last priority area that I'll cover before turning the presentation over is for the departments in our efficient delivery of public services before you on the screen. These departments total $183.5 million in appropriations. The recommended proposed budget is comprised of 11 departments, including $68.8 million in the CEO Risk Management Self-Insurance Funds, $62.9 million in CEO County Operations, and $14.4 million for the General Services Agency. Departments in this priority area are funded by $124.5 million in estimated department revenue, $567,000 in the use of department fund balance retained earnings, and a $58.4 million contribution from the general fund. 31.8% of the efficient delivery of public services priority is funded by local discretionary funds. A few of these service areas that we would like to highlight. The assessor's office has a recommended staffing plan to significantly improve the processing time of deed transfers to support improved accuracy in our property tax collections. We are also very excited to see the first community convening for the new Focus on Prevention program. This first convening will focus on preventing homelessness in our community and will bring together key leaders in all sectors of our local community. This program presents an entirely new approach to how our community can work together to tackle our most difficult challenges, and we are very grateful for the investments this board has made in lifting this effort off the ground. Please mark your calendars now. We hope that October 1st, 2015 will be an important milestone in how we can affect positive long-term changes in our community for generations to come. The County Clerk Recorder's Election Division will conduct the June 2016 presidential primary election. That'll be an exciting time. ensuring that registered voters are given the opportunity to vote. General Services Agency's Facilities Maintenance Division is working on several exciting projects this year, including a project with Public Works and Parks and an external consultant to complete our California State stormwater permitting process, improving water quality for county residents. This is entering year three. The department will focus on improved reporting and continued process improvements. I also want to mention that GSA is in the middle of a multi-year deferred maintenance improvement strategy, and this upcoming year you can expect once that's implemented that we will be resurfacing the pavement and many of our county parking lots that has gotten pretty bad. Strategic Business Technology will implement Stanislaus County's new website design, emphasizing mobile services and improved search capabilities with enhancements to provide ease of use to customers by automatically detecting the user's device and displaying information to fit that device. We'll be more friendly to all of our customers who try to access stancounty.com on their mobile devices, which is more frequent. I want to take just a moment to go through some of the details for some of these departments before we conclude this priority area. $78,000 is recommended for staffing costs associated with the restoration and reclassification of a confidential assistant 3 to a supervising account admin clerk and the reclassification of a vacant admin clerk to an account clerk position for the assessor. The increase in clerical staffing is provided to assist the department's efforts to close the timing delay between the recording and processing of documents, and we're looking forward to those service improvements. In CEO Operations and Services, it is recommended to restore one manager 3 position to expand leadership development opportunities for the entire county organization and to add one confidential assistant 3 position to assist with needed payroll and clerical support functions funded by net county cost savings in the Chief Executive Office budget. CEO County Operations budget includes an increase of $31,000 to fully fund costs associated with the Behavioral Health and Recovery Services Public Guardian, which is a mandated county responsibility, and $165,000 for Department of Environmental Resources to support an increase in code enforcement levels of service. Keith is going to talk about those increases in code enforcement when we get to that priority area. In CEO Risk Management, it is recommended to restore one confidential assistant 3 position to accommodate the increased demand in the area of obtaining and maintaining proper insurance certifications. The position will also provide support services in proportion to the increased staffing levels we have experienced countywide and will be funded by net county cost savings. As mentioned previously, the clerk recorder will conduct the June 2016 primary election and will be increasing the budget $750,000 to fund that budget. And mention about our county vehicle acquisition. As directed by board policy, we bring this before you one time per year to try to leverage the strategy for purchasing county vehicles in the most efficient manner. The county has a total fleet of 847 vehicles. Of these, 408 vehicles meet the minimum age and mileage requirements to be considered for replacement in accordance with the General Services Agency fleet policy as approved by this board. So in partnership with the GSA fleet manager and being mindful of our safety functionality and prudent use of resources, 118 vehicles are recommended for purchase in budget year 15-16, which includes 33 new vehicles and 85 replacement vehicles. There is a detailed table listing the vehicles recommended for approval within your recommended proposed budget. If you're interested, on pages 526. That brings me to conclusion of the priority areas that I'm going to cover. And I'm going to go ahead and turn the presentation over to Assistant Executive Officer Keith Boggs. I made it.
Good morning, gentlemen. Keith Boggs, Assistant Executive Officer. I'm going to talk through the next three board priorities: a strong local economy, a strong agricultural economy and heritage, and a well-planned infrastructure. So beginning with a strong local economy, the departments include the Alliance WorkNet and the county library system, along with CEO Economic Development. The CEO Economic Development is the ED Bank, which is currently frozen. Chart one, departments in the strong local economy total $31 million in appropriations. The recommended proposed budget includes $20 million in the Alliance WorkNet and $11 million in the library. In chart two, the departments in this priority area are funded by $29.1 million in estimated departmental revenue, $1.5 million through the use of department fund balance or retained earnings, and a $492,000 contribution from the general fund. 1.6% of the strong local economy priority is funded by local discretionary revenue. Several of the service highlights include in this area, the Alliance WorkNet will open a new career resource center in Turlock during the next cycle and enhance services and increase training and internship opportunities for our job seekers. The library will enhance security and inventory capacity for their collection with a wireless radio frequency data management system. This is similar to those microchips used in the retail sector, and will deploy an outreach librarian to provide bilingual support and literacy services to youth throughout our communities. Drilling down to the Alliance WorkNet, they anticipate maintaining current service and staffing levels through the one-time use of $951,000 in department fund balance. This use of fund balance is due to a reduction of grant opportunities and a continuing high demand for service. In the library, in addition to deploying an outreach librarian, a librarian two position, the library continues to focus on expanding community access through new materials and e-services. The proposed budget includes appropriations for multiple deferred maintenance projects and a new capital improvement project. These projects will be funded with $526,000 in fund balance. In the board priority of a strong agricultural economy and heritage, the departments include the Agricultural Commissioner and Cooperative Extension. The total appropriation is $4.8 million. The recommended proposed budget includes $4.3 million for the Agricultural Commissioner and just under a half million, $491,000, for Cooperative Extension programming. In chart two, the departments are primarily funded with $3.4 million in estimated departmental revenue, $16,000 in the use of department fund balance or retained earnings, and $1.4 million contribution from the general fund. 28.8% of the strong agricultural economy and heritage priority is funded through local discretionary funds. Several of the service highlights in this board priority include cooperative extension with irrigation districts and growers will evaluate refilling of the local aquifer by wintertime flooding of indigenous orchards, and will look to improve silage management practices on dairies, creating a survey tool to aid producers in their decision making. The Ag Commissioner's Office will install a vehicle scale to be used to perform required certification of department heavy capacity weight truck and partner with the Sheriff's Department to further enhance the enforcement of the purchase and sale of walnuts ordinance. Drilling down in cooperative extension, it's recommended to increase the department's budget by $15,500 to support a part-time administrative clerk two position funded by net county cost. This position will provide administrative support to two additional UC farm advisors in the areas of integrated pest management and orchard and vineyard systems analysis. In the board priority of well-planned infrastructure, the departments include the environmental resources, parks and recreation, planning and community development, and public works. In chart one, total appropriation is $130.2 million. The recommended proposed budget includes $89.6 million for public works, $23.8 million for environmental resources, $9.9 million for planning and community development, and $6.9 million in your parks and recreation department. Chart 2 reflects departments in this priority area are funded by $111.5 million in estimated departmental revenue, $14.6 million in the use of department fund balance or retained earnings, and a $4.1 million contribution from the general fund. 3.1% of the well-planned infrastructure system priority is funded by local discretionary funds. The service delivery highlights in this priority area include: in environmental resources, the department will complete the groundwater database development and well mapping project, construct a new ash cell at Fink Road landfill, and implement a residential green waste recycling program. Parks and Recreation will implement an online reservation system and continue campground improvements at Woodward Reservoir. I was trying to get your eye contact on both of those. Public Works will complete seismic retrofitting of two bridges, construct sidewalks in Park Lawn and Empire neighborhoods, and complete the Kiernan Interchange and Claribel Road widening projects. Drilling down in environmental resources, the Code Enforcement Division saw significant cuts and reorganization in fiscal year 10-11, deleting several full-time and part-time staff. During your board retreat this past winter, you expressed a keen interest in restoring this important function. This proposed budget recommends the first year of a three-year restoration plan to restore positions and enhance code enforcement activities to include a seven-day-a-week presence. In budget year 15-16, it is recommended to add one new zoning enforcement officer position and an administrative secretary. A supervision position is currently being studied to determine the appropriate classification level with a recommendation to come back before you at final budget, and these positions would be funded by net county cost. Additionally, the Hazardous Materials Division has experienced a significant increase in workload as a result of increased state mandates and California Environmental Reporting System requirements. As a result, it's recommended to restore one senior hazardous materials specialist, which will be funded by department revenue. Excuse me. In parks and recreation, our parks are a reflection of our sense of community. Our regional parks could be a significant component to our economic development strategy. Parks has been subject to significant budget cuts due to recent economic uncertainty, seeing a total of over $1 million in funding reductions and a reduction of 15 positions, 42% of staff, since fiscal year 2008-2009. This proposed budget recommends a total increase of almost $771,000 in net county cost to begin to restore funding, add positions, and increase service levels at our parks. The total ongoing increase is $498,000 in net county cost with one-time cost of $272,000. System improvements include a total of six park maintenance workers recommended, two assigned to the Modesto and Woodward reservoirs, two assigned to county parks, and the remaining two assigned to LaGrange and Frank Raines parks, these last two funded by an off-highway vehicle grant. The ongoing increase in net county cost also includes funding for PAL, the Police Activities League, services to continue juvenile crime prevention programs in the communities of Keys and Grayson, and to provide new services at Oregon Park in partnership with Orville Wright Elementary School and the Head Start program. One-time costs include Oregon Park improvements to reopen restroom facilities in multiple parks, replace playground fiber, which is the ground cover at parks, and vehicle purchases. Additionally, one-time funding is recommended for branding and advertising efforts as part of the parks, the department's marketing strategy to monetize our regional parks and to take them back. In planning and community development, planning has seen an approximate 43% increase in applications that require a public hearing before the Planning Commission. For workload support, it is recommended to restore one Administrative Clerk 3 position, which will be funded with net county cost savings in budget year 15-16. Additionally, the department's Confidential Assistant 4 is retiring in March of 2016 and is recommended to double fill this position for up to 2 months to minimize the impact on department operations. In public works, the good news is that Claribel Widening and the Kiernan Interchange projects will be completed in fiscal 15-16. Kudos to public works leadership and their engineering staff. The bad news is that highway users tax has decreased by $3.1 million, which will impact the county's chip seal and road maintenance activities. In addition, recent state legislation and more stringent requirements of stormwater permitting and enforcement processes have placed the responsibility for stormwater management at the local level. As a result, the department is requesting to restore an engineering position to assist in performing these tasks, which would be funded by departmental revenue. And finally, the Public Works Transit budget has increased over the last fiscal year by $2.1 million to provide system enhancements, including increased service hours, implementation of ADA paratransit services, improvements to transit facilities, and the procurement of 5 fixed route and 3 paratransit buses. And that concludes my summary on these 3 board priorities, and I'll turn the talking stick over to Patricia Hill. Take us home.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Can you hear me? And members of the board, Patricia Hill Thomas, Chief Operations Officer. Low voice today, so I'll do my best to project. Thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. This is always, I think, one of the most significant parts of what we do as a county organization. I'm going to present to you the programs in the Healthy Community Priority Area, and I know that your board understands how vital these programs are to the community that we serve. The departments in the Healthy Community total over $535 million. It's the largest program area in your county budget, and it is largely funded by state and federal revenues. The chart on the screen shows you each budget by program, from the largest, the Community Services Agency, to the smallest but still very vital Area Agency on Aging and Veteran Service Programs. Most, again, of these services are funded by state and federal resources. In this chart, you see the relationship to $511 million of program funds from other governmental agencies and $19.3 million to match those largely state and federal funds from local discretionary revenues, and $5.1 million from departmental fund balance in the proposed budget before you today. These vital programs touch virtually every citizen in one way or another in our community, and some of the significant service highlights we'll share today include services to over 12,000 seniors through the meals and other programs of the Area Agency on Aging, behavioral health services to county residents, including our recently opened psychiatric health facility and our soon-to-be-constructed crisis stabilization unit. These programs from the Department of Child Support collect and distribute over $48 million of child support to families in our community. Our social service programs now provide aid to one in every 1.9 residents, largely due to the increase in Medi-Cal eligibility and those responsibilities, as well as CalFresh and programs as a result of health care reform. Our primary care clinics annually provide medical services to over 41,000 individuals in our community, including indigent persons. And as of today, we have zero citizens on the medically indigent program, the MIA program. We think that to be significant. There are $18.8 million in local discretionary match dollars, as we said earlier, and that leverages that $535 million of federal and state money to leverage your board's priority for a healthy community. In the Area Agency on Aging, it is recommended that we carry forward some one-time funds, and a technical adjustment is recommended to increase the net county cost. We are also recommending to restore a case management function for seniors who have chronic conditions and physical limitations, and add one accountant in support of the department's fiscal reporting requirements, which are very stringent. These positions, fortunately, are funded from increased departmental revenue. In our behavioral health and recovery services programs, which are immense, as you know, the budget before you includes funding in the amount of $15.4 million for increased demand in mental health services, including adult and children's system of care, the crisis emergency response team, drug and alcohol services, particularly drug Medi-Cal, and Mental Health Services Act programs and services. This is a significant increase, 7.3% from the previous year's budget, all entirely funded by dedicated and mandated revenue sources. The department has seen a 70% increase in the Medi-Cal eligible population since the implementation of the Affordable Care Act in January of 2014. Beyond that, in behavioral health, we recommend the addition of 17 clinical positions and 3 clerical and administrative positions to support the expansion of these mental health and recovery service programs. These are due and needed because of the expansion and demands in mental health services, primarily as a result of matters going on in our community and the Affordable Care Act as well. All of the positions I mentioned earlier will be funded by direct revenue from these mandated programs. And I have a list I can share if you want later of the various programs that will be supported and expanded as a result of the proposed budget. In the Community Services Agency, the single largest budget in our county annual budget spending plan, The department's budget reflects a modest increase of appropriations of 1.4% and 2.1% in estimated revenue from last year's budget. The department can maintain the current level of mandated services for the projected number of cases and customers that they expect this coming fiscal year. The good news in this budget, in addition to be able to serve the community, is this budget includes a permanent reduction in local discretionary dollars used in these past several years during the economic downturn that had to be shifted to these mandated programs. This reduction of $1.8 million means that there will be an additional $1.8 million permanently available in local discretionary funds for your board to use to support local programs. So a win-win, and we're very pleased to have reported that. I've sat at this table for several years asking you and recommending along with the CEO team to shift these discretionary revenues to mandated match, and today we seek to shift them back. We are recommending 13 new positions in the Community Services Agency. These positions will provide additional support needed as the result of health care reform, where our Community Services Agency became responsible for Medi-Cal eligibility for our community. They will also provide technical security system support, reform in STAN works, and support the implementation of the Parent Partners Program for the Stanislaus County Improvement Plan, or the SIP, which your board approved earlier this year, and provide administrative support for the social workers so they may focus on their caseload management responsibilities due to mandates for the extended foster care program and KDA legislation. All positions are funded by dedicated departmental revenue. In the Health Services Agency, the proposed budget has identified several program areas in the Public Health Division that require additional staff resources. It is recommended that we restore three positions and add two new positions to support these expanding programs. This will include the immunization program to address health tracking and compliance, clerical support to the public health laboratory and medical therapy programs, and provide direct physical therapy patient care. Again, in this program area, all these additional funding programs and restorations are funded by non-general fund sources. That completes my presentation for the Healthy Community Programs. I'd like to shift this now to the overall staffing recommendations, which are included in the proposed budget before you today. As part of the 2014-15 final budget, the county had a total of 3,978 allocated positions. Since then, during this past fiscal year, the allocation approved by your board's specific proposal by our approval by a total of 88 positions, bringing the current total authorized positions to 4,066, as illustrated on the chart. The proposed budget before you today has an addition recommended of 58 positions that will bring the entire workload with your approval, or workforce with your approval, of full-time positions to 4,124. This is about 10% below the highest level number of authorized positions back in the 2007-2008 fiscal year. We have challenges and we have opportunities, and we have a wonderful organization that meets those every day, led by the leadership of your Board of Supervisors. I can't not smile and talk quickly about this, so I'll do my best. We're extraordinarily pleased in our capital projects work. Work is proceeding beautifully on our AB900 Phase 2 project. As you'll recall, that is the largest single capital project in the history of our county. This project is constructing 480 maximum security detention beds, a very unique 72-bed medical mental health unit with security control, and the first of its kind day reporting center that we will join you in dedicating here in August of 2015. We are so pleased with the progress and the efforts there. This work, however, will lead to the opening of additional public safety facilities, and our team is working hard to bring to you, with the final budget, a phased staffing and operational plan that's affordable and works within the county's long-range model as well. So more news to come in the final budget. We are thrilled with the progress of our day reporting center and our new coroner's office. Both will be open by the fall. The day reporting center will begin to be operated in August in the coroner's facility after you dedicate it in October. The projects have gone beautifully well. We are creating the opportunity in the final budget for the increased costs for operations such as utilities and others. There are no staffing impacts from the planned opening of those two new facilities this fall. And as you know, work continues to create a sustainable financial model for a one-stop veteran center that will come to your board later this summer. In terms of the retirement system, and there are many experts sitting on the dais and others, I will please to report to you that the current actuarial evaluation of the county's retirement plan shows that the market value funded ratio increased from 79.4% last year to 87.5% as of June 30, 2014. Awesome. This is one of the strongest retirement plans in the state of California. Modeling shows that future exposures have the potential to increase our employer contributions, however, by 4 to 5% or higher, depending on the investment earnings of the plan. So we continue to work with Stan Sarah and monitor these important parts of our county fiscal plan. Water is an incredible challenge, as we know. During this next period, the county water manager will continue to work closely with the Water Advisory Committee and the support to the Technical Advisory Committee on several key deliverables, including the development of the regional governance structure consistent with the new State Groundwater Management Act and the implementation of water level monitoring and key extraction data in a database format for major private agricultural irrigation districts and urban water supply wells. All of this effort will allow us to better interpret water level and extraction data as we focus on the areas of need in our community and the immediate concerns. There are implications from the passage of Proposition 47 this past year by the voters of the state of California. Inmate populations in some cases have fallen as a result of Prop 47, which reduces the classification of non-serious and nonviolent property and drug crimes from a felony to a misdemeanor. The local impacts of Prop 47 are being tracked here, and we plan to report along with the final budget the impact and assessment of that change in the law. There is also good news, the SB 90 mandate claim revenue. The governor's May revise of the budget builds upon his commitment to restore funding to local agencies established in his budget from last year, including an additional total of $232 million for what is commonly referred to as SB 90 mandate claims, where the state mandates a program and was required to pay for it, however, the funding never came. This reimbursement commitment by the governor is significant to all counties, particularly our Stanislaus County. This will funding by the governor will provide sufficient funding for the state to pay the entire remaining debt for the pre-2004 mandates. That's $765 million statewide. CSAC has notified us of the amounts for the 2014 in fiscal year. In Stanislaus County, we expect to receive $5.4 million with an additional potential of interest in August of this summer of $1.2 million. All future mandate claim revenue from these time periods will be dedicated to the county's discretionary revenue fund. By recognizing these revenues in the general fund, all departments benefit directly and indirectly through the support of net county cost and county match and sustainable financial funding allocations in the proposed and final budget. While mandate revenue will ultimately materialize as general fund discretionary revenue, the CEO will establish a process with the final budget that will come before you in September to identify individual department impacts related to the claiming of SB 90 revenues in the future. The county's budget can be found on the county's website, stancounty.com. Under budget, we encourage the public to look at the information that's included in that website. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, and to the audience, I'd like to also thank the CEO budget team, your board, our CEO, Mr. Risen, and all of our department heads and their staff for staying focused on accountable fiscal planning and delivery. We have before you today 9 staff recommendations. They include accepting the proposed budget presented today by the Chief Executive Officer, then conducting the scheduled public hearing next to receive public input on the proposed spending plan, directing any changes that your board should wish to make to the recommended proposed budget, and then acting to adopt the 2015-16 recommended proposed budget, to authorize the Chief Executive Officer and the Auditor Controller to make it happen, to, in the current year's budget, by a 4/5 vote as well, authorize a decrease of $630,810 in the appropriation for contingency to increase the sheriff's operations fixed assets in the amount of $559,500 and the district attorney criminal division equipment and training budget for $71,310, as Mr. Hayes mentioned earlier, for fixed assets and equipment needed for the public safety restoration plan. To also authorize a decrease in the current year budget of $110,000 in the CEO operations and services budget, increasing that appropriation in the newly created budget unit, CEO focus on prevention, dedicating those savings as well. To direct the Chief Executive Officer to return to the board for authorization on the use of funding from the new focus on prevention budget recommended today as part of the proposed budget. To amend the salary and position allocation resolution to authorize the positions outlined in the proposed document before you, as well as the agenda item, to begin with the start of the pay period on July 1, 2015, to approve the contract report that's included in your agenda item, and to direct the Chief Executive Officer to prepare the recommended final budget, setting a final budget hearing, please, on September 15, 2015 at 9:05 a.m. On behalf of the entire CEO's team, we would be pleased to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Patty and Keith and Jody. Good job, guys. Okay. We'll start off with any questions from the board. If not, then we will open the public hearing. Any questions from the public? This is too quiet in here. Okay, we will bring it back to the board for comments. I guess I need to close the public hearing. All right, back to the board. Whoever's up. Go for it. Bill, go ahead.
Try a mic that works here. First of all, I just want to thank our entire staff. We're just talking department heads, we're talking CEO staff, we're talking every single employee line staff in this county for the jobs that they do. It's a different feeling when you're sitting up here and restoring services. I will tell you how difficult it was in the times of reductions in forces, where it seemed like every meeting we came to, we were eliminating someone's job. And that took a toll on this board, and it's something I will never forget. And sitting here and restarting to restore services is such a great feeling. And so I know it's through all the hard work of our staff that we're sitting here, and the turn in the economy and the good luck that we've had, that we're able to do so. And I just want to thank everybody for hanging in all the difficult years, the public for hanging in and accepting the lower response that our county gave our citizens. And now we are here starting to restore the services and be able to provide more services. I do have 4 requests that I'd like to make in the budget, all budget related, and they all have to deal with water. And so just ideas and stuff that I'd like to authorize staff to do, research, and bring back with final budget. First of all, I want to look at consolidating all the water activities that our water manager and basically all the water people in our county do. We do so much between stormwater, new requirements of stormwater, looking at and developing underground water storage, even the regional recycled water project that we're working on. With all the basins that we work with and all the rest, there's just so much that we put into water activities. I'd like to see if we can consolidate that all together. Whether that means we have it in the right department, we need to look at that, analyze that. I'd like staff to take a look at that and see if they can make a final recommendation for a final budget. Along the lines of that, the requirements that we're going to see with the groundwater management that the state has mandated for us to do, as well as all the activities we're currently doing, are we understaffed? Do we need to add a position to the water, I'm going to call it the water department, to the water manager to make sure that we are giving adequate support to him? Third area I'd like to look at is what can we do to get a quicker response to residential dry wells that have gone dry. And I'm asking this under budget because maybe there's budgetary means that we can utilize to get us there. Seeing someone wait 9 months if their well were to go dry is tough. I've asked myself, I've asked staff in meetings, what would you do if you went home tonight and your water didn't turn on? And you're told it'll be 9 months before it turns on. What would you do? And it's quiet because there's not a whole lot of good answers to that. And lastly, I'd like to look and maybe unfreeze the Economic Development Bank for additional funds for the dry well, the well replacement loan fund that we do have. Maybe that needs to be broadened a little bit to anybody who can't qualify for a regular commercial loan. Of course, there would have to be restrictions and requirements that would go along with that. But the idea is to get someone who ran out of water, get them back into water as quickly as possible. So those are my four requests or pleas that I'd like to see if we can tackle, and if can't get it back sooner with final budget.
We'll be happy to look into that and bring it back no later than final budget.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Bill. Okay, next up, Supervisor Chiesa.
And I would agree with all of Supervisor O'Brien's comments. I think they're very appropriate to take a look at. So great work again to staff. It is a much better day this year than it was a year ago, and a year before that, and a year before that, and a year before that. Good budgets get better, bad budgets get worse, and I always say that, and today it was proven again because your realignment growth revenue goes up faster than you think in these good times, so our mandated match comes back to the general fund. You have the mandate payment the state is paying us back on debt that they've owed us that they didn't have to pay us till 2021, and so things are better. I think it's important that we recognize one-time funding versus ongoing revenue cost. I see in the budget we're talking about deferred maintenance, which is fantastic for one-time funding, debt pay down, and restoring some of our reserves. We talk about that. Sometimes people think that's bad, but we made it through the tough times because someone long before me was smart enough to put away a lot of money. So, and I appreciate, and I don't want to leave this place any worse when I leave than when I received it. When we talk about ongoing revenue, we've made a big statement to public safety. I'm glad to see parks, but being restored, I will tell you that the parks component, there's, you know, this motive by me that we think there's a real diamond there that can make money for the county. So, but we have to put it in a condition that will do that. I like to see that. There was a statistic that you brought up today, Patricia, that was 1 in 1.9 residents. You'll probably hear that over and over again. It was about 1 in 3, I think, when I started on this board, and because of the ACA and Medi-Cal expansion, I know it's getting higher, but yet that's a trend that we need to reverse. We need to try and reverse. A lot of mental health money, a lot of these other areas that are not necessarily general fund, where we've got a lot of expansion. I will say you had that one, the other statistic that I saw. We look at our discretionary revenue, which really gives this board the ability to do things in the county. And it was a high of $181 million in 2007-8. And based on just pension costs and our health care costs in the county, I'm guessing we have to be north of $200 million to be at the same level of staffing, and we're at $178 million. So as excited as I want to be with this budget, I'm still cautious when we talk about general fund, discretionary spending expansion. We have to do it cautiously, but this is the best news I've seen in a long time. And, you know, coming on right when the year after the high, it's been all downhill, and this is really, you know, my opportunity and probably Supervisor Withrow's opportunity to share some good news, because we haven't seen a lot of good news in our time. So thank you to staff and to the taxpayer. We're gonna watch this closely.
Very good. Thanks, Vito. Supervisor DeMartini.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Also want to thank staff for all the work that's went into this budget. I know the public really has no idea how much effort goes into this, and the staff time into working over this budget and providing us with, I don't know, about 600 pages of budget document. It's a very good budget report. Things are a lot better now in the county than what they used to be. We certainly went through our share of hard times in the past, so I'm glad to see things are stabilizing and we can restore some of the programs that were cut and actually increase some that were really needed. The code enforcement, I think, is one of the things that I really am glad to see that is being increased. We were down to two code enforcement officers for the county. It was really insufficient for all the work that they had to do. And having that department being 7 days a week is really going to be a good thing. There's a lot of things that go on the weekends, and car dealers selling cars out of parking lots and fruit stands up on all these corners, and they're there because they know that we're not going to be there checking on them. And so that is a big step forward into that. Also, the public safety restoration for the sheriff's department's a good thing. We had to cut all departments, and including the sheriff's department, so I'm very glad to see that we're able to restore that now and restore the funding, increase positions. And also, one thing that was important to me is the increase to the Parks and Recreation Department and that funding. Parks are important to people, and it's a quality of life issue. You know, in hard times, the parks are one of the first things that goes, but we have been gradually building up these parks and making them better, and it's a positive thing for kids to have a place to play soccer and sports, and for families to be able to use them. And the Parks and Recreation Department is going to get some increased funding in positions that were cut in the past. And that's really a really good thing. And the project that I'm really hopeful that we started is focus on prevention. Hasn't been a lot said about it, a little bit, but I think in the long term, this project is going to pay off, because we have a long-range view. It's just not year to year. This is a good 10-year program, and to try to just treat the cause of the problems and not just the symptoms. And I'm really very hopeful that this is going to make a long-term improvement to the citizens of this county who are at risk, youth, and problems that we have with crime and drugs and homelessness and fatherless households. I think that there's a lot that can be done with this program, so I'm very hopeful that will make some really significant changes. And since I sit on the Stan Serra board, I would like to just mention that we are 87% funded, although our costs may go up a little bit, but that's not because of the Stan Serra board. It's we have to look at the amount of people retiring and be sure that is covered. And we have a lot of people in this county that are with retirement age and 10 years or so. I'm only 39, but I have a long time, but I can say we look at the statistics of that, and our our board at Stan Sarah's has done really an outstanding job. We are one of the best funded in the state in our rate of returns. Then last year, I don't know yet for this year, but it was like 17%, which was really good. We have just an outstanding CEO of that department, and we continue to make prudent investments with minimizing risk and still getting very strong returns. 87% is pretty well funded, especially considering the hard times that we had a few years ago where we lost quite a bit in 2009 and 2010. And the last thing I just want to mention is the coroner's facility. That's another project I'm really glad to see is on its way. We have an outdated facility, and we're going to have a really good one when it's over this year. Capital Projects team, headed by Patty Hill, is absolutely, I think, the best in the state. We have done difficult projects and a lot of projects. And even in the hard times, we were still managing to build some facilities. And they've come in, for the most part, on time and under budget in a lot of cases. So I think that the Capital Projects team really deserves a good pat on the back for just a great job they've done through the years in getting these projects off the ground and getting them built without any major problems. And then now it's a lot of moving parts to putting up buildings, so it's I would like to compliment on them on that because they don't get, I think, the credit they deserve on these projects. Overall, I'm fine with the budget. It's things are much better than they used to be. And this board is very prudent and frugal, and we will increase staffing in positions where it makes sense and what we can afford and still be able to put the money in the reserves for the next recession that we know will be coming sooner or later.
Very good. Thanks, Jim. Supervisor Monteith.
Well, in summation, I just want to say thank you and job well done.
Okay. So just a couple things here. Going last, everyone has pretty much said everything I wanted to say. But just a few things here. First, always thank you guys. What a great job. And in my world, I always say this. This is hard stuff, what you guys do in this budgeting process. And you do such a great job at it. And I think we just stand out, amongst in this county, in this state with what we do here. It's just very impressive the way we do these multi-year planning and we look out several years. And everything that I would advise and work with my clients to do is what we do here, which quite honestly really surprised me when I first started here. I didn't expect that. And so I'm very impressed with how we go through this budget process and how fiscally responsible we are here at the county. So I want to thank you guys very much for all your hard work. The other thing just to mention really quickly is that we say this every time, but we have forgotten to at this point, is we go through a briefing before we get here. So sometimes it looks like we're just sitting here and just rubber stamping this budget. But believe me, we have worked everybody over, and we've been briefed, and there's been a lot of questions and a lot of stuff before it gets to this point. And all the board has, again, we appreciate the staff. They sit down with us and go through it kind of meticulously. And so we've put a lot of time into this also in reviewing it prior to us sitting here so that we don't waste everybody's time when we get to this point. So I just want to point that out. For me, fifth year of budgets, fifth year that I've been doing this and involved in this. And like Vito says, this is a different world from what I started in. It was gloom and doom and just a depressing situation when we went through the budget each year, especially when I first started. And so, but the amazing part about it is just how we, as we work through it, just this methodical approach that the staff has, whether it's the worst of times or the best of times, we still take the same approach. It's kind of this even keel. We go through and we do what we have to do to balance the budget. And again, that's just amazing. It's just a steady, kind of steady Eddie approach that we take, and it's very, very much appreciated by all of us here. Bill talked about water, and that's exactly what I wanted to talk about too. We need to look at before we come back with our final budget just like Bill said, and look at possibly more funds for our for what we're doing in water. We have one water manager, and we have but we are leading the state in what we're doing in water here. We are on the leading edge of the curve of what's going on in groundwater management. And so, and we've been doing that on a shoestring budget, and Walt, what you've done, and Jamie, great stuff. But I'm afraid we're beating you guys up pretty hard here. And we've got to figure out a way to get some more resources towards that. We've got a lot of things we've got to pursue. We're, you know, as we get, we're gathering the data for the groundwater management. We're working on bringing together all the groundwater sustainability agencies to, in this coordinating committee. We've got a little bit of a grant that we got to help us with that. We're bringing in facilitators to help bring in all the GSAs that are out there being formed within our four basins, and so we had a little bit of money that came in. It's kind of helping us with that, but we need more help with this. And as leaders in this, we really need to dedicate more resources towards this, because as we all know, you know, we live and die by water in this county, and so we've got to continue on and pursue that. There's other areas that we can, if we can dedicate more resources towards this, you know, there's other sources of water out there that we can pursue, you know, stormwater, which is a big possibility that we could capture if we ever had a storm come through here. And then and the tertiary treatment that we're working on, you know, that's going forward. But there are so many different things that we need to be pursuing and to position ourselves. So let's hope that it rains like biblical rains here coming up. But even if that happens, we need to position ourselves for the next drought that comes through, or if this one continues. So so just more of the reason, as Supervisor O'Brien says, we have got to continue down this path we have with our water, but we need more funds to do that. So we've got to figure out a way to make that happen. You know, as everyone else has said here, our public safety restoration, great. We're getting back towards that. That's a good thing. You know, our parks and recreation, I agree. And then one final comment here, and same thing that Vito had said with regard that stood out when we saw that 1 in 1.9 people in this county are on some sort of, you know, assistance from us. And I know, like we said, a lot of that has to do with the expansion of the Medi-Cal. But still, it's 52% of the people in this county are depending on us for some sort of assistance to get by each day. So, which brings me to the final point of focus on prevention. That's how we're going to change this, and that's how important this program is that we're working on, is that number will go back down. It's not going to happen immediately, but this money that we've, this board has approved, not as much money, but the effort that we've approved and the attention that we're asking all the department heads to look at with regard to their services and how we can start working on the root causes and not the symptoms. That's how we're going to fix this thing. And I guess that's the thing that most excites me about anything that we're doing right now, is that we do have a plan, and we are working towards making that number come down, getting the number of people that are dependent on government to come down. So I think that's a great thing. So anyway, good job, guys. Thank you for everything you're doing. And if there are no other comments, I will look for a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to approve all 9 staff recommendations as well.
We'll want to open the public hearing.
I think we already opened it.
Okay, sorry.
I usually forget that, but I didn't this time.
I usually don't speak out, but
that's all right. Thanks for looking out for me.
I was just listening to your comments. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to approve all 9 staff recommendations as well as direct staff to further research water issues and bring us back recommended actions no later than final budget.
Good. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second that motion.
We have a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Passes 5-0. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all very much.
Okay, we will move on to correspondence.
This board has received 2 letters from the California Water Boards regarding transfers of water from various water agencies within California.
Refer to the Department of Environmental Resources.
This board has received a notice from the California Water Boards regarding the opportunity to comment on the proposed amendment to the water quality plan for the Sacramento River and San Joaquin River basins.
Refer also to the Department of Environmental Resources.
This board has received a letter from the State Fish and Game Commission regarding the proposed regulatory action relating to the implementation of the Bobcat Protection Act.
Refer to the Fish and Wildlife Committee.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Board of Supervisors reports. I just have one, and it has to do with the NACO recognition of our mentor program, National Association of American Counties. Is that what it's saying? Yeah. We have our mentoring program, which is, we received, I think, recognition from CSAC from that at one point, and now we've received national recognition for that. So that, I mean, that's very impressive. Again, Stanislaus County leading the way. So thank you, guys. And Keith, thank you for all you do with that program. So, okay. Then our chief executive.
Yeah, just real quick, as I reported last week, we were thrilled that negative bailout has been included in the governor's proposal. Unfortunately, that bill that carries negative bailout also includes some RDA dissolution language that CSAC has taken a position against.
And, CSAC.
The California League of Cities has taken a position against. It appears that most of the concern from the California League of Cities is over the interest rate that can be paid on loans from a city to the RDA, and it's our understanding that the governor is working on proposing a fix to that particular dilemma. So we continue to keep a careful eye out on how that goes, and are optimistic that it will survive. The budget is due by June 15th. And it may go all the way up to the wire, but we'll be watching to see how that materializes.
Okay. Thank you very much. And then we have a closed session today.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we have a closed session to have conference with legal counsel to discuss existing litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, Subdivision D1, involving two cases. First case is Guillermo Diaz et al. Versus County of Stanislaus et al., Stanislaus County Superior Court, case number 2008718. Second case is Irina Engert et al. Versus Stanislaus County et al., United States District Court, Eastern District of California, case number 1:13-CV-00126-LJO-VAM. We do not expect to report out on either of these matters.
Thanks, Jack. Any public comment on closed session? If not, this meeting is adjourned.